question ultimately is, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, where do we go from here?
OTB Sports Radio.
I drunk texted Joe Smith, too small Latin Hebra. And he obviously just threw it into like Google Translate or something, because he's like, ha, ah, thanks, Danny. Yeah, the first half was good, actually.
Now broadcasting 24 hours a day, live on the Go Loud app, Alexa.
You have a whole new world of possibilities.
Google Home, tune in, and offtheball.com/radio.
This is OTB Sports Radio, the OTB Podcast Network.
All right, welcome back. It is Thursday's Off the Ball, and I'm delighted to be joined by Donegal footballer Michael Murphy. How are you keeping, Michael?
All good, Nathan. Thank you. All good. You're finally beginning to get there, I think.
To see the light at the end of the tunnel. Thank Christ for that.
I second that. Second that.
How have you been keeping?
Good. Not too bad. Three kind of ways. I think the first couple of weeks a bit of a novelty to everything, but new and different and at home. And middle part of the area then, just beginning to adjust to a new norm and kind of hoping to see, wondering and worrying if there's going to be football this year. And then finally now it seems to be phase three, where we're beginning to get a bit of light and a bit of hope really. I think that there's going to be actually finally football and hurling this year. And that's been kind of strange. I don't think I'd ever really fully, people were asking me, you know, did you find your ability, or did you think it was an increased chance you were able to relax over the last number of weeks and months? And I think it has been kind of anything but. Yeah, I've been kind of on edge all the time in terms of feeling there's something that was going to be pounced on you at any stage, and just wanting to try and keep the body right and keep ticking over. So that's kind of the way I've been feeling. I suppose it seems to be a few more dates now added in terms of club football and county football that we can kind of plan to, you know.
And away from the football, how's life been? Because you're a business owner, you've got Michael Murphy Sports in Letterkenny, you're a small business owner, they've been decimated by this. Like, how's it been from a business point of view, and how have you been able to deal with it over the last few months?
Yeah, we closed early, probably one of the earliest, really. We closed, I think, maybe four or five days prior to the lockdown. It was just getting to a stage from the information that we were receiving about the distancing and about the spread of the virus. I just couldn't figure a way how we could keep the shop open in terms of people trying on clothes and et cetera, et cetera. So I think from the staff point of view and from just the general customer point of view coming in through the door, we closed. We still kept online up and running. Obviously, it kind of reduced staffing levels and kind of at basically with protective measures in place. But I think that the news we got last week, from a business point of view, from a general person point of view, and from a footballing point of view, I think there was a real confidence given out last week from both the government and from the GA that the things are beginning to come back to normal. It was a very definite sort of kind of message came out. So from that point of view, we got the shop back up and running on Monday.
Great.
And training now, starting to hopefully look forward to a bit of training now again fairly shortly.
And were there concerns at any stage? I'm sure it must have crossed your mind when you're worrying and wondering what might happen as to whether you'd be able to get the shop open again.
I probably did. Being honest, what we did, we ran a sale fairly quickly on online. We predicted that we were going to be in lockdown for quite a while. So we tried to turn as much of the stock just into cash as quickly as possible at a reduced rate. And that's what we did, just with the hope of having something there so we could go and rebuy stock now in the current situation that we're at, just to reopen. Because in general, in a small business, you're just working from week to week, from month to month in terms of cash flow. So we're very fortunate in that way to have a bit of success with that initial kind of online sale that we did immediately once we closed down. Just gives us, to say, that little bit of breathing space or a bit of resource to kind of put back in now to the business to start it back up, like, you know.
I know in Dublin, the first few weeks, it was surreal when I'd be in the office on a Thursday evening. When I finish, I might go for a wander around South William Street and Grafton Street, and one of the evenings didn't see another soul, not a shop open, literally not a person walking the streets. And over the last couple of weeks, it's really started to pick up again. It's still strange when you're walking past Grogan's or any of the pubs and none of them open, and in the good weather, there was nobody congregating. From what you've seen over the last few days in Letterkenny, that now that we're into the second phase and shops are allowed open again, are people willing to go back out and spend? Are people coming through the door at a similar rate as they would have pre-lockdown?
Yeah, it's definitely a mix. There's definitely more cars there. There's certain areas of Letterkenny, like in any town, or as you say, in any city, where you notice crowds, you accept big crowds are going to be there, like in certain car parks or in certain corners of streets. And definitely it was crazy to see them quiet. Letterkenny was no different. However, now I definitely did see a change there come Monday. And I got a feeling from speaking to people over the weekend, since kind of Friday or the end of last week's news, the positive news that we got, that people are ready. They're ready to get back out there. Now that has to be still tapered in with the necessity then to actually continue to keep social distancing and whatnot. But there's definitely more people out around that are Kenny. But at the same time, you can still see going to meet them, there's still that little bit of standoffish nature of, yeah, I know we're back out and about here, but like, you know, cop on essentially too, you know.
Yeah, it must be very difficult for shop owners to get that balance of creating a safe space where people feel like they can come in, but also that it's worthwhile, that you can still make money out of this, that in the busy periods you can still get enough people through the doors to make it worthwhile opening those doors.
Yeah, that's it. And I suppose, like, I mean, that's what you do for, like, and I mean, we're small. We have an online presence and we try to push it as much as we can. However, it is nigh on impossible to do to match the big independents. So you do rely on the, I suppose, we hope that the service we can provide from the customers coming through the door and the experience that they have, or maybe the expertise that you can offer them in terms of footwear and things like that. So that definitely has been a lot more trickier to navigate in terms of just getting enough numbers to come through the door. Because, as I say, the moment you do open your doors, the costs just rocket, you know, wages are going to rocket, you know, everything else, electricity, everything rockets. So you need to just, you know, balance that with getting enough people through the door and enough cash under the till. But same time, you have to give it a go. You can't be defeatist and we can't wait. And at the same time, you have to try and bull on as methodically as we possibly can.
Bull on sounds like the sort of phrase you'd use on a regular basis in a dressing room.
sometimes. Harsh on with it.
I think you probably summed up the different sides to this right at the start when you said there's the personal side, there's the business side, and there's the sporting side. So that's the business side. From the personal side, and as a sports person, you'd be well used to dealing with setbacks, disappointments. You'd probably have quite a bit of resilience built up but built around your sporting career. When something like this happens, something almost otherworldly, like, did it knock you sideways at all, or were there things you'd learned through the years you were able to fall back on so that mentally you did stay strong?
There was definitely moments, like, but I was kind of, as I said to people, like, I was kind of aware of moments where I found myself literally going up the wall. Like, I was aware that it was happening to me, and I was aware, right, that, right, let's knock yourself back straight, let's take a step back, let's relax, let's pick up the phone, speak. And I was aware of them, like, and I didn't let it drift too often, but there definitely had been more moments. It definitely was kind of different. Like, you know, the one thing, the perspective that I've kind of got from it, I love playing Gaelic football and I love trying to better myself as a Gaelic footballer, and I always thought that was my numero uno, that was my number one wish, that was my reasoning, or my why, as you call it. But the more I realise, I think it's more the actual being part of a team, and actually the social element, and having the fun and having the crack as a team, and having those sitting in the dressing room and having a soft conversation with the fella next to you, that you took for granted as you were tying your laces. Now you had to go on to a Zoom call to speak to that person that might have taken a half an hour, whereas you're able to have a wee 30-second conversation. So I hope that I'll have a better appreciation for that when we go back, definitely.
Yeah, that's the big test for everybody. There was a sense that there would be a new normal, and there would be an appreciation for what we have, and suddenly life starts to take over again, and you get back into the routine, and you get back into the slog, and you try and keep those little nuggets and try and keep that fresh in your head.
Yeah, you're not, and I mean, likewise, we're not to be fooled to say we're not going to absolutely carry everything from this period back into our life, but even going to pick up one or two things. And you know, even Zoom calls for us here in Donegal, there's been a new kind of, I suppose we've become Zoom literate, I think I used the word there one of the times, where we actually feel we know how to go onto a computer and log on to a call, and how we should try and hold ourselves on a call, and maybe for us in Donegal that have a lot of people away in college in Dublin, Galway, various places like that, or even just thinking of lads from Kilcare that might be an hour and a half away from training, that we can maybe log on to a call to do that tactical training session.
Yeah.
Calling everybody in. So there could be certain positives that we hopefully can take out of it. But the face-to-face contact and picking up body language signals and things like that is something that we don't just get on Zoom like we get in real life, you know.
Talking to a lot of sports people over the last couple of months, something that comes up is about the balance in their life and focus solely on sports. Understandably, even more so obviously with professional sports people, and you have the balance of work and sport. But have there been times as well where you've questioned the amount of commitment you've had to give over the years, and the amount of commitment you gave, that suddenly you have this free time to, now you couldn't do much, but suddenly there's a lot of hours in the day, and because I'd imagine your life for the last decade has been just hell for leather, very few spare hours over the course of a week.
Probably funny, it's probably one of the first times where in the back of the head, I haven't really set it out, but where the idea of retirement come into your head,
right,
in terms of what it potentially could look like, or you know how those days could look like. That crept in every now and then, like to what it would look like, and
you know, what did it look like?
What did it look like? Very good day. Yeah, still craving to watch some form of sport. Anyway, that's been the big one. Geez, like just to watch any form of sport at all. I think we were speaking about it earlier. Sport is going to be part of it anyway, one way or another. But yeah, spare time definitely at home here. I live at home with mum and dad, and there's only really the three of us here. And I would say in the last, you know, 15 odd years, there's only three of us in the house, but we hadn't spent basically 2 hours a day together any day of the week.
Yeah.
And that kind of just roll reversed to where we're spending maybe upwards of 6, 7, 8 hours a day here. Find yourself out in the garden and the wee areas of the garden we used to play football, kicking over apple trees. You used to kick over when you were maybe 7, 8, 9 years of age, and all of a sudden you're 30 years of age kicking there, and you're looking over to say, Jesus, anybody watching me go mad here? It's been different. A wee bit of perspective that I hope we can do. But you know, when you're in the football and people, you know, speak about the commitment that you give, it doesn't really resonate with you. It doesn't really resonate with me anyway. It's something that I love doing. The people that are probably making the sacrifices are the family and friends that maybe you're missing out on things with. I never looked at a commitment. It's just part of me that I do. And the moment that I probably do look at it on it as a commitment is the moment that I'll probably put the nail up and hang them up, you know.
So when you're running outside and you're just kicking balls over apple trees, in a way, is that, and you're thinking back to doing this as a 7, 8 year old, like, are you reflecting on your career? Is it going that deep of, geez, I did all right, you know?
No, I don't think there's ever a fear of that. You're trying to figure out where's the next part. You're trying to picture yourself in Coole Park and whatever X number of amount of weeks time against Tyrone or whoever that may be. That's to me, again, where my head's at. Or you're thinking back, probably fortunate in a way, I feel anyway for myself, the time that the pandemic probably did happen, it was at a stage towards the back end of the National League where you start to feel your body starting to come around and get ready and get excited, and you start to feel fit, and you start to feel you're not far away from hitting where you need to get to. So I was probably over the course of it, I was in a maintenance phase where I wanted to really maintain all those benefits rather than letting them slide. Now, inevitably, you're not going to be able to maintain to that exact same level, but I wanted to try and maintain, and that was always stuck in the back of my head. So there was never really, for me, again, as I mentioned it earlier, a disengagement from what was going to come around the corner, you know.
Maybe you won't know the answer to this for 4 or 5 years, but could there be a benefit to your body long-term when you're thinking about retirement and how far you can go? Because like, you're such a talismanic figure for Donegal and regularly man-marked, big, big hits that you can take, it looks like, but eventually they do all stack up, that actually not having that sort of battering on a weekly, monthly basis for a considerable period of time could really stand to you.
We'll soon find out fairly shortly. I have definitely, we've been fortunate. I know you allude to, and I listen to loads of people that have been speaking, that I've definitely taken the time to strengthen areas of the body that need both looked after and need to get stronger to hopefully try and keep me going for another while longer yet. The groin's been one of them. I've been very fortunate, and you were able to probably spend a bit more time looking at them rather than trying to maybe look at them in a small way, but always still have one eye on the game at the weekend, or always still have one eye on training tomorrow night. So you're able to really look at them for a prolonged period to hopefully try and, you know, make them again more robust to withstand the rigors of kind of when the inter-county season and when the club season comes back up and going, you know.
You mentioned the Zoom sessions there. Maybe that's, again, one of the positives, particularly for a county like Donegal, maybe for pretty much every county outside of the cities where players are dispersed around the country, that, you know, you still come together for your physical sessions. But a lot of what you do, actually, you don't need to be in the same room. How often have you been getting together on Zoom? How often are you in touch with the county squad?
We've tried. It's been mixed. Probably we probably started off. We did quite a lot of collective ones, and like anything, we were trying to figure our way around it and what was the most effective way to do it. And probably at the start, we were really much focusing on trying to keep going with our tactical sessions and everything that we were trying to keep pushing towards, because we still thought the championship might be just around the corner. But I think once that message came out that it was going to be at least to October, the calls, we kind of deciphered them into smaller groups, and they also became more just about engaging, like, you know, just actually seeing people more so than actually trying to get through work, you know what I mean? So I suppose in recent weeks and months we've went into smaller groups. The interactions have been a hell of a lot more. People maybe that don't normally speak up, and they bring some unbelievable ideas to the table around areas of tactics and things like that. So fairly positive in so far the way it has worked out, if you know what I mean. We've done some fun things, group things, laugh things, presentations, and
go on.
Yeah, different things, small fitness classes, things like aerobic classes, whatnot, that you laugh at. So there's been definitely a good mixture to it, you know.
I was wondering this with football and with the Premier League returning, that so many of these brilliant managers like Klopp and Guardiola have rarely had spells like this in their career where they have time to think, where they actually have 2 or 3 months to rethink it all over again, and whether there will be some sort of big tactical shifts as they do return. When you're talking there in Donegal, do you think that this period, when football does resume, because of the break and because of the time that people now have to actually go through things, that we might see different styles of play? Will it be a different Donegal?
Well, hopefully, like, I'm a big believer, like, and that's always been one of my arguments around the whole, personally, one of the arguments around the whole, you know, changing rules. Like, I think we need to come up with more ideas as players and as managements to try and work within the boundaries and come up with new tactics and ways of doing things that kind of push the boundaries, and, as you said, maybe change the game rather than actually changing the rules, you know. So it'll give teams more time to think, but, you know, as well as thinking and formulating strategies and new plans, a big part of that is actually implementing them and practicing them at training. And I suppose this period hasn't allowed us maybe to do that outside of maybe using our imagination out the back with apple trees.
We do now have some sort of a plan in place for the return of Gaelic football, both at club and intercounty, and it may well change even again over the coming weeks, and it may return sooner than we expect. But collective sessions to return quite soon, full contact sessions before the end of July, a very short build-up as it stands before club championship, a couple of months of that, and then intercounty training back middle of September, and championship hopefully come the middle of October. What are your thoughts on what's to come over the weeks and months ahead? There's a lot of debate already of club and county, and what initially looked like maybe an 11-week club spell is being eaten into by the county team. Like, you're in a difficult position, understandably, but is this a time where we should actually just give the club that breathing space?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think the number one thing we want back is all followers, players, supporters, management, everybody, as we want football back, hurling back, everything, we want games back. And I suppose that's the number one thing. So what is games equal? Games equals club and county football. The two dates that we probably have in mind is we have that late July date and we have the October date. So we look at what is needed between those. I look at our own scenario, say in Donegal, for example, where we run a club championship that's the senior club championship, where there's 4 groups of 4. So you play three games.
Mm.
Winners of that going to a quarter final, semi final, final. So there's six weekends possibly in that. So I feel that there's definitely, we're fortunate in a way where I think we can run our six club championship games where county players are in without having to look over your shoulder at training with your county, that you can just fully commit Tuesday, Thursdays, weekend games for that whole 8-week period. But then at the same time, if we're running an inter-county championship in October, we need, like, there's no other way. I've played it now, so you need at least a 3-week, 4-week period in the lead into that. And my fear is if you stretch out the club championship and eat into that 3 and 4 week lead-in period, that county teams are going to dip in and out the whole way through the club period, if you know what I mean. So I think there needs to be compromises on both ends. The county championship, the club, the central county championship need to compromise and potentially look at a straight knockout in order to finish it in the calendar year in 2020. And then the club championship need to compromise in a way to run it in an 8-week period too. And as a result, what you'll probably get is two blocks. But at least with the two blocks, at least it's fairly straightforward and the understanding that, yeah, everybody commits to that team for that period. And then everybody commits to that team for that period rather than this grey area. And it may set a precedence for the future because there's no point goes denying the elephant in the moon, elephant in the room in terms of the crossover between club and county. It's there week in, week out throughout the season, and it could set a precedence for the future, you know.
Yeah, and there is no better time as we talk about the world changing coming out of this. Why not take advantage of that? Though the problem with sport is someone will always look for an edge. You would love, and it's probably a pipe dream for the GEA, to be able to sit down and talk to all the inter-county managers and say, actually, we have this proposal. 14th of September, all county championships will be finished. You will have your players as much as you want for that month. We will give you that as long as you agree not to be putting on sessions on a Tuesday night for the 2 months previous. That there's a huge opportunity, and it'd be so beneficial to everybody, because the one thing coming out of this is we all want the elite inter-county game. But people, men, women, kids, they just need to get out playing again. They just need to get out of the house. They just need that buzz of a little bit of competitive action.
100%. That's the biggest majority of our association. I totally and utterly get that. But I feel as a player that's playing with both, in order to make them fully work, the further that we push and eat into that, what was proposed at the moment, the 11 weeks, then the more likelihood is the inter-county manager and everyone's going to say, well, hold on a minute, I have a knockout game. And potentially at the moment, the county final is going to be on 10 days before our first round knockout game. I mean, if that's the case, they're going to want, do you know what I mean? If there is a knockout game on the 17th of October, for example, then, you know, you're going to need to really subtract 4 weeks from that to allow that team to prepare. And I think if you do subtract 4 weeks from that, I would like to think, anyway, the responsibility will be on all sides to allow players play away at the club for that 6 to 7, 8 weeks, you know. And I think it'd be great, like, countrywide club game for 8 weeks max, like, exposure-wise for everything. It would just be powerful, you know.
What's your thoughts on playing games behind closed doors?
Again, I go back to the ladder, and what's the top of the ladder? We want to get games back and playing. If I had a preference, of course, part of a crowd. Like, I grew up going to games as a young fella, 6, 7, 8 years of age, going to Donegal games, going to Glensfully games, and it was all the usual stereotypical way. You drive to Clonus, you hop out of the back, you get the boot open, you have your tea and sandwiches, you walk into the game, you chat about the game, you get your programme, you fly your flag, you cry when there's a goal scored against you, and you cheer when there's a goal scored for you. That's part of the whole experience that I miss, but it's probably inevitable that can't be done currently at the moment. So do we just go a year without football in order to hopefully get crowds back, or do we get football without crowds? It's not ideal, but it's the compromise I think we have to play to try and get something back on our radar again.
How many less scraps per game will there be between Donegal and Tyrone if there's no crowd there to egg you on?
I don't know, be interesting there. It's going to be interesting without crowds, or how it's going to work. I'm just entirely not sure. Could be some people lurking about the outside of the stadium somewhere.
Yeah. Who knows at this stage. It's been brilliant talking to you, and it's great to hear that you're in good form as well. Where's the fitness at the moment? Are you naturally fit? Does it come quite easy, or are you really having to... I know you probably let a little dip from where you were 3 months ago, but yeah, are the next few weeks going to be tough?
No, I'm not too bad. I think it's been the one big change I've found in the Antrim County game. Anyway, over the last 4 years, there is no big, huge off-season where you basically put on the stone and a half weight anymore. Like, it's just, there's too much catch-up. The National Leagues in late January are just, they're at too high of a level to let yourself go in the off-season. So that has been the big shift I've noticed over the last 3 to 4 years, that you're constantly tapering about, or you're constantly in around that 80% zone, 70-80% zone. And I'd like to think that I'm fairly much at that, but I will need a boost of training now to actually hopefully bring me up towards that 90% zone, you know. And just looking forward to it. Still hungry and still looking forward to it, and hopefully the body will touch you, it'll take it off.
And give us the exclusive then to finish with, when you're having those inner conversations about retirement, what year, what age, what date have you set?
Oh, Jesus, I think the day where I just know myself that I'm sure it'll come to everyone. I have a conversation with a few of the boys in the Donegal team that I've kind of played with over the last number of years, and said, well, how do you know, or when do you know, or what's the story, or what's the crack? And they just say, you'll know.
Right?
So I'm sure there'll be some incident where something will happen that I'll say that's not usual, or something will happen, but hasn't happened yet, so I'm not going to just get them thoughts out of my head that I've been having over that lockdown period and move on to looking forward to games again.
Yeah, I dare say it'll be a few years yet. Michael, it's brilliant talking to you. You've been chatting to us because you are promoting The Toughest Trade, and that is going to be back again on Virgin Media Sport over the next little while. I know it's been running for the last few weeks. We've already seen the likes of Aidan O'Shea, Lee Chin, Brendan Maher swapping sports. This all happened initially a couple of years ago, but now it's on Virgin Media Television for everybody to see for exclusive content and to see why AIB are backing club and county. Follow us on @AIB_GAA on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, and AIB.ie/GAA. Do you still keep in touch with Shane Williams from The Toughest Trade?
Funny, I got a message in there a couple of weeks back. He was doing a cycle of some sort, I think maybe potentially for the lockdown. I just sent him a message, just a good wishes message on the cycle, and he got straight back. So he's been quite good. He's been interactive a small bit with Glenn Swilly, social media every now and then too. So he's... yeah, he's definitely a good one. He's a club legend.
All right, great stuff, Michael. Mind yourself.
Perfect, good man. Thanks, Nathan.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.